Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. And Stu, you beat me this week.
I sure did. Congratulations on scoring the third highest number of points in the league, but sorry you had to run into the buzzsaw of me. Three straight weeks of being highest scoring in our league of what actually matters to us. So that feels pretty good. Getting hot at the right time, thank God for Jahmyr Gibbs. I know you're setting us up for the show, James, but I do want to come out and just like apologize just kind of to the airwaves for something I said last week. And most specifically, I want to apologize to Jameis Winston, because that was pretty fun for real life and fantasy. He has like the most yards per pass catched or something. I don't know. He's the highest in one category because he caught one touchdown and broke a couple tackles while he did it. So that was pretty fun. Still don't like him for off-the-field related reasons, but hey, we'll see if he gets to play again. But sorry for everyone for saying Jameis Winston was not good for fantasy, not fun, because he proved me wrong. James, how you doing today? This is not Tuesday evening.
No, it's not. It's Tuesday morning, which is not the normal time for us to be recording a podcast, but we've got some pretty exciting circumstances that allow us to do this today, or require us to do this today, and that is our dear Dr. Stu is getting a house today.
Yes.
How's that feel?
I'm pretty acclimated to the idea of it. It's been, a month of just getting used to signing papers and sending money, and we sent the down payment yesterday, so we kind of officially own 25% of the house, and the bank owns the rest. We'll work on that for the next 30 years or something like that. But getting ready to move. It'll be interesting recording when I start to move my station. Sure how I'm going to handle that.
Going to have to find a new place where everything works and the Wi-Fi hits right. And
exactly. That's right.
All that
jazz.
We have to get all that jazz.
Okay. Anyway, but we got football to talk about, James. It's Thanksgiving week. Week 13.
It is Thanksgiving week. It is Thanksgiving week, and we have every NFL team in action, no buys this week. So it's going to be a longer episode. We're going to try and be quick enough with our breakdowns. But I want to start us off by looking at something that is not about this week, because we're preparing for week 13. Preparing for week 13, and most of your playoffs start on week 15. Hopefully this is something that you all were thinking about before I just said it, but preparing for the playoffs. Specifically, I want you to look at defenses for matchups for weeks 15, 16, and 17. So I got a quick list of teams whose defenses you want to target right now, because of their matchups for the playoffs. Number one on my list is the Texans. If you watched that game last week where the Texans' defensive line demolished the Bills, that game really shouldn't have been as close as it was. The Texans were the much better team. They have pretty easy matchups in both the first and second rounds. I like them a lot. And then also for weeks 16 and 17, you actually kind of want to look at the Giants. It's a weird team to be looking at, but if you look at their production over the course of the season as a defense, it hasn't been impressive, but they've also played a very tough schedule outside of a few early season matchups. I don't mind getting the Giants as a team to ride you through the second and championship rounds of your playoffs, but some other teams that you might want to look at: the 49ers, the Eagles, the Bears have a couple good ones in there. Those are for week 15. For week 16, we like the Bills, Broncos, Texans, Bucks, Chiefs, and Giants. And for week 17, there's a lot of good ones to pick from, a lot of what should be lopsided matchups. You might not think about week 17 right away, but Seahawks, Colts, Rams, Saints, Patriots, Giants, Steelers, Lions. And that's enough delaying before we get into the actual first game. Stu, I believe you're leading us off this week. You have the early Thanksgiving game, where the Packers travel to Detroit.
To D-Town. Yes, we've got the Packers and the Lions. The Lions are 2.5-point home favorites with an over-under of 48.5. So, starting with the Packers, the big name to keep an eye on is Josh Jacobs, who was out last week with his knee injury. He's currently limited in participating practice on Monday. So if he does play in this very important divisional showdown on Thanksgiving in prime time, you're probably going to want him in your lineups, but it's still a little bit sketchy. Thankfully, they don't have to rush him back because backup Emmanuel Wilson has been playing very, very well in a more prominent role. 28 for 107 against Minnesota with 2 touchdowns. He is absolutely a slam start if Jacobs were to miss this week as well, which personally I think is fairly likely. For the pass catchers, we got Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson to take a look at. Christian Watson's kind of been on again, off again, not really a solid start, but you could throw him in there in super deep leagues. I'm more confident in Doubs just generally for his role in the passing game, even if he has been a little bit softer and a little bit, weaker play over the last couple weeks. Matthew Golden still nursing that shoulder injury and still not relevant for, fantasy purposes. One name you do want to keep an eye on, I don't know if you want to do it so late into the season, but Jaden Reed is still on IR. He's still practicing, but we'll see if he ever gets back into the game because he is a talented receiver. He's just missed the entirety of this season at this point. Let's go ahead and look at the tight ends real quick. Of course, Tucker Kraft, rest in peace, in a better place now. He didn't die, but he's on IR. Musgrave, still not anybody that we want to be paying attention to. And then quarterback Jordan Love, I think you could find better options, even though Detroit could very well be a team that they need to pass against. I'm with James on this one. Jordan Love's not the play this week. Mm. For the Detroit Lions, Jahmyr Gibbs, thank God for him. If you have him, put him in your lineup and enjoy the show. He's incredible. 61 points in our league. I know our scoring is not the same as everyone else's, but incredible. Amon-Ra St. Brown is also a smash start. He's the wide receiver 2 in PPR rankings. And the big ones, the big names that we have to have a kind of a tougher conversation about. Number one, David Montgomery. At this point, is just a high upside handcuff. You don't want to be starting him at this point, even against the Packers. So he's not getting enough of a role. Jahmyr Gibbs is just so much more effective and efficient with the touches. Why would you not be going to Gibbs? So if Gibbs goes down, you've got a top 12 running back for the rest of the season. But until that happens, David Montgomery is just a bench clog. We also have Jameson Williams, the ultimate boom or bust. Almost an entire month of boom and then falls back down to earth with a crash. 0-4-3 targets against the Giants in a game that honestly was very entertaining. It turned into way more of a shootout than I personally expected. And you kind of just look at you look around, midway through the third or quarter or the beginning of the fourth, and you realize that Jameson Williams has done nothing all day. So, if you want to put him in against Green Bay, hoping for the boom, that's fine. Personally, as a Jameson Williams owner, I'm keeping him on the bench this week. Jared Goff, start him when he's at home. I'm cool with that. Should be fun. No tight ends are relevant in this game. James, why don't you take us on to the next game? I think it's Cowboys and Chiefs.
To Jerry World we go, where the Kansas City Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites over the Dallas Cowboys. Starting with the Chiefs here, Patrick Mahomes looked a little bit more pedestrian against the Colts than we would have expected. Well, we were not expecting him to thrive against the Colts defense, but he's Patrick Mahomes in a season where he's been a little bit resurgent, so against a team with basically no defense, we would expect Patrick Mahomes to have a significantly better week this week. He is an easy start, as he should basically always be. A few things that are concerning here. Both of the big Chiefs receivers, Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice, not in that order, are popping up questionable and were limited at practice on Monday. If you watched that Colts game, both of those guys were banged up. Xavier Worthy spent a good amount of the second half of the game on the sideline. He came back, was a little bit hobbled, but both those guys are questionable. So if one of those guys goes down, the other becomes an automatic start for me. Rashee Rice should be an automatic start no matter what. He is a PPR darling. But Xavier Worthy, still an eternal match-based flex. And I think this matchup is a good one for him. It's just going to be about what kind of volume he's going to get. And the guy who's kind of benefited the most from these two guys being a little bit banged up is Travis Kelce. He was not incredible last week, but he has been on a little bit of a hot streak. Travis Kelce should be a safe start this week as well. The running backs, also an interesting story in Kansas City. Kareem Hunt has kind of found his footing again. Had his season high last week against the Colts, but that's without Isaiah Pacheco. Isaiah Pacheco is supposed to be back this week, so I'm not positive what that does to the snap share between those two. It'll probably go back to a lot of Isaiah Pacheco, but Kareem Hunt, I think, has earned the right to a lot of touches, so we'll see what happens there. I'm not confidently starting either of those guys until I hear the coaches talk a little bit about how they are going to use them. Moving over to Dem Boys, this is going to be an interesting matchup for them because this is a high-powered offense that should be able to do a lot, but we've seen this Chiefs pass rush frazzle people like it did the Colts last week. So Dak Prescott, I don't think is an automatic start. I think you've got to have somebody better on your team to not start him, but he's still Dak Prescott. He's still going to pass the ball a lot in this situation. They're going to be playing from behind, I think. So Dak Prescott's not a bad pick, just weigh your options there. Javonte Williams, who started the season as the most unexpected star in fantasy football, his star hasn't exactly faded, but it's not as shiny as it once was. He's been, you know, high RB2 last few weeks. So with this, we don't really expect to see him hitting RB1 numbers against the Chiefs. Very good run defense. RB2, very startable. Just we would really like to see him find pay dirt to have this make a lot of sense. Jake Ferguson is still an auto start at tight end. CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens are still auto starts at wide receivers. Both of them wide receiver one upside. And that's it for the Cowboys. Stu, take us to Baltimore.
Yes, we've got the Baltimore Ravens playing against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Ravens hosting. The odds on this game, the Ravens are 7-point home favorites with an over-under of 51.5. And the big story in this game, I think, is the return, the possible, probable return of Joe Burrow. The quarterback for Cincinnati has been out for most of the season with a toe injury. So what does that look like for the team overall? Of course, in this game, you'd want to start Joe Burrow if he's healthy and playing. Ja'Marr Chase, fresh off his spitting suspension, is going to be back in your lineup immediately. T. Higgins, knocked out of last week with a really nasty-looking concussion, has already been declared out for this game. So you want to start looking at tertiary options. You could perhaps throw in an Andre Yoshivas. Yoshivas is spelled I-O-S. Yoshivas. He could very well get some good looks in this game in what could be a very high-scoring affair between these two teams as the wide receiver two option for the Bengals. Chase Brown has been tearing it since week 7. He needs to be in your lineup as a running back 1. Tight ends are kind of a crapshoot for Cincinnati. You can throw a dart at Mike Gesicki because T. Higgins is out. You know, what sort of, you know, T. Higgins targets are going to go to Yoshivas, what targets are going to go to Gesicki, but also what targets go to Noah Fant, the other tight end too. So, kind of a crapshoot. I'm not really throwing my dart at either of those two guys, but you do want pieces in this game. I think it'll be good, entertaining, fun football on Thursday. Really excited to see Joe Burrow back, but I'm not exactly certain why they're bringing him back, since the Bengals don't have too many playoff aspirations at this point. For the Ravens, I think the biggest story is the fact that Lamar Jackson is playing hurt, right? He's got to have some lower body injury that's nagging him, and they just keep putting him out there because they need to win ball games. Like, in the last 2 weeks of single-digit fantasy production, it really would hurt to put him in this lineup. It's against Cincinnati, so I mean, if I had him, I still would if he were active, but I would not feel super great about it. So keep an eye on him. Practice reports. He's probably going to play in this very key matchup. They just took the lead in their division. They want to try to cement that with a win over the Bengals. Derrick Henry is playing as an RB1. You need to put him in your lineup as an RB1. He should tear it up against the weak Bengals defense. For pass catchers, we've got Zay Flowers, who has pretty much just topped out as a low-end wide receiver 2 for the entirety of the season and should continue to be that role, especially with a hobbled Lamar Jackson throwing to him. Mark Andrews, just like James said last week, if he scores, you're going to be happy. If he doesn't, you're not. But you can put him in your lineup if you really, really need to. I'd love to not have to do that. So basically, Derrick Henry is the only lock on this team. Everyone else has some pretty significant question marks there, James. So not a whole lot to talk about for the Ravens. As we move right along, the next matchup would be Eagles-Bears.
And we got a lot to talk about on this one. Black Friday. Love that we got a Black Friday game. Makes Black Friday that much more Black Friday. Starting with the Bears, who are 7-point underdogs going into the link. Caleb Williams has, you know, developed very well over this season. He's playing a lot better than he has been early in the season. He should continue to trend in that direction. However, the Eagles are as good as they are confusing, and should be able to shut him down a good amount. I still like Caleb Williams as a weaker start this week. If you got somebody better, do it, but he still shouldn't be a bad... it's not a bad idea to start Caleb Williams here. Moving on to the running backs. We've seen in recent weeks DeAndre Swift lose a little bit of the dominance we saw in him early season, ceding a lot of production to Kyle Manungai. There were people who expected this to happen. It wasn't really me who did. I expected Kyle Manungai to just be a really exciting handcuff, but he has become a guy who is kind of looking better than DeAndre Swift with the ball. He's running harder. He's getting extra yards falling forward. Running through guys, he's looking like the better running back in that offense right now. And against the Eagles defense, I'm not exactly excited to start either, but it's a tough one. Conventional wisdom says you keep rolling with Swift just because he is the guy getting more touches, but Kyle Manungai is more efficient. Stu, what do you think about this?
You know, DeAndre Swift it was a down week for Swift, that's for sure. But he's been the more consistent fantasy option for most of the season, if not all of it, outside of last week. So I would still keep rolling with Swift myself.
Yeah. I just get a weird feeling about it. Like, that's the, like, technically correct thing to do. It's just weird. I'm not excited to start either, and if I have other options, I'd think about it. Moving over to the receivers, we saw last week Roma Dunze disappear again and DJ Moore blow up again. This is a weird wide receiver core to think about. I would like to not start any of these guys. I'll just leave it at that. No Luther Burden. And I still don't think we can reliably start Colston Loveland, but he did have a very good game last week. He's up to the tight end 27. Just continuing to check in on our rookie tight end there. Moving over to the Eagles. Jalen Hurts is an auto start. Just leave that as it is. Saquon Barkley. Struggling. You gotta start. It's one of the most annoying things in fantasy football right now. We saw Derrick Henry kind of get to this point early in the season, and he's figured it out a bit. Saquon, there's just too much talent there. And there's Indy, if you can hear that. He's weighing in on that. He doesn't like me saying that Saquon Barkley's washed. But he isn't washed. Just, I don't understand what the Eagles are doing. Saquon Barkley, running back 2. What a week last week for the Eagles wide receiving core. AJ Brown, after telling everybody to drop him, scores a couple touchdowns. Devontae Smith had a nice week as well. Both these guys are starts this week for me. And Dallas Goedert, keep it going. Stu, take us to what should be an interesting noon game on Sunday.
Yeah, we've got the Texans, Houston Texans, visiting Indianapolis to play our Colts. The line in this game, the Colts are 4.5-point home favorites with a 44.5 over under. So, Houston Texans defense is nothing to sniff at. What's their offense going to be like? Well, it's possibly going to be helmed by General Mills, Davis Mills again. We still have to see if CJ Stroud is going to get multiple full practices in this week as he recovers from a lengthy concussion. So they're winning games, so maybe they run with Davis Mills, but we have to be prepared for the possibility that CJ Stroud is back. The offense has looked very different under these two guys, so how is that going to affect Nico Collins? Personally, I know it was a down week last week against the Bills, but I'd rather Davis Mills start for Nico Collins enjoyers out there. But you're still throwing him in your lineup if CJ Stroud is out there. You just maybe temper expectations a touch more. Of course, Nico's going to draw Sauce Gardner and the buffed, you know, Indianapolis secondary. It's their line and linebackers that you kind of can exploit. Maybe not the secondary as much. Jaden Higgins, rookie wide receiver for Houston, has been getting a little bit more attention in recent weeks. Caught a couple touchdowns in the last month. Not really fantasy relevant, I think, at this point, but maybe worth a speculative add if he keeps increasing his role running into the fantasy playoffs. Woody Marks has basically completely taken over the backfield from incumbent Nick Chubb. Woody can absolutely be started as a running back two or even a higher flex option. Dalton Schultz, the tight end for the Texans. I mean, if Davis Mills plays, sure. If CJ plays, probably not, but he's, you know, not very exciting anyway. Also, if you're one of the, you know, psychopaths still holding Joe Mixon, you can go ahead and drop him. I don't know why you drafted him or picked him up in the first place. He was never going to play this year. Moving over to the Colts, hopefully this week they learn that Jonathan Taylor is really, really effective and they should use him extensively, because this offense runs through him. If he's having a bad game, the Colts are having a bad time. So he needs to be started as an RB1 in your lineups. Michael Pittman Jr. still needs to be started as a wide receiver one in your lineups. Let's go ahead and take a look at Alec Pierce, kind of a boom or bust Jameson Williams option himself. You can absolutely start Alec Pierce, but may want to temper expectations against a defense that has been giving people fits and gave a much better quarterback than Daniel Jones fits last week. Daniel Jones, if you can find a way to get him on your bench, I would do that. And then Tyler Warren at a shallow tight end position. He still needs started, even if he has been a little bit colder over the last month or so, James. Next up on the docket is, well, this should be fun, Buccaneers-Cardinals.
Yeah, sorry, I was looking at my notes. Looking at the Cardinals, who are 3-point underdogs going to Tampa. Jacoby Brissett has, been passable as a starting quarterback. Clearly better than Kyler Murray. Rumors abound. What is it, the Athletics who own his baseball contract right now? Is that
yes.
It? Yeah, rumors that he will be playing baseball next year. And, you know, probably rightfully so. There's long been speculation that Kyler's heart was never in it. And certainly his game wasn't up to snuff. And he's being outplayed by Jacoby Brissett, who isn't playing fantastically, but is still playing better than Kyler. Not a startable guy, just wanted to say that. The Cardinals remain a little bit weird, as do the Bucks, which we'll get to. But Bam Knight has been the very clear guy at running back without much of Amari DiMercato or Michael Carter to speak of. There was a chance that Trey Benson could be back last week. He started practicing on Wednesday as a limited participant. There's not a whole lot in terms of a timetable for when he could return, but it's any week now. Trey Benson could be back this week, and we don't know what that's going to do to Bam Knight. I would guess that Trey Benson probably isn't going to emerge as a bell cow immediately, and Bam Knight is still going to have a good amount of work to do. So I like Bam Knight. Moving to the wide receivers, Michael Wilson has been very productive without Marvin Harrison Jr., and Greg Dortch has gotten a good little bump as well here and there. Obviously, Trey McBride is an auto start, but the big question is Marvin Harrison Jr., whose appendicitis has kept him out the last several weeks. When talking to the media, I believe yesterday, the Cardinals head coach said that there is no official timetable on Marvin Harrison Jr., and when he's mentally and physically ready to play, he'll play. I'm going to guess physically he could probably go next week. Mentally, the Cardinals are 3-8 and five games out of a playoff spot with 5 weeks to go, so he's not going to play. I would expect Marvin Harrison Jr. to not play the rest of the season. If he does come back, I would be surprised, but it's not impossible. Moving over to the Buccaneers, Baker Mayfield. I believe AC joint sprain in his non-throwing shoulder. It's unclear whether or not he will be playing as of this point. He's going to be a guy you're going to want to look at as the week progresses. If he does play, this is a team who Baker Mayfield should play well against, but that non-throwing shoulder, it's not the most important thing for a quarterback, but it definitely isn't unimportant. He's going to be playing through pain, and they could put the ball on the ground a lot. Or not put the ball on the ground, but run the ball a lot. That leaves Sean Tucker and Bucky Irving. Is that how they're using them right now? Sean Tucker and Rashad White, sorry. Sean Tucker and Rashad White both had pretty terrible weeks this past week. One of them should have a better game against the Cardinals. Like, we should expect the Cardinals to be bad and teams to run all over them. But just the way they've been used gives me pause. I would like to start other people if possible. If not, I still think I'm giving credence to Sean Tucker, who did get more touches than Rashad White. Emeka Egbuka, coming back healthy, did not have a very good week. He did get 8 targets, but 3 receptions is not a lot to write home about, especially with the yardage he got, only bringing in 6.2 PPR points. The guy who has been playing a little bit better, maybe not in Week 11, but yes, in Week 12, was Tez Johnson. Brought in a touchdown, but I wouldn't put a whole lot of credence into that, given the fact that he brought in 3 of only 4 targets. You want the guy who's getting more targets because they are the guy who's going to give you a better chance to produce with those targets. But he scored. So if you guessed right on Tez Johnson, you guessed right on Tez Johnson. Not that he gave you a ridiculous amount of points, just that it happened. Kate Otten has also kind of continued his regression, although he did get 7 targets, got to bring in 4 of them. I'm not excited to start Kate Otten unless I don't have anybody else, and with all 32 teams in action, there's probably somebody else. He's not the worst option in the world against the Cardinals, who are pretty weak all around on defense, but I'd look other places. Stu, take us to the bottom half of the AFC South.
Yes, the Titans and the Jaguars. Titans hosting Jacksonville in Week 13. The line is Jaguars are 6.5 road point favorites with an over-under of 42.5. This is a game that I will try to catch the condensed version of, and I will not watch a second of, because, oh my God, I don't care about either of these two teams. Let's talk about the Titans first, because it's a very easy conversation. Last week, Cam Ward did not look awful. He looked better than at least J.J. McCarthy. Wasn't the worst quarterback in the league. Put together a couple good drives, and the big beneficiary was wide receiver DK. I'm just going to call, can I call him DK? I don't want to try. Sure. I don't want to try. DK, I think, actually can be started this week as a flex option. I would not hate that in the slightest, but he is the only person I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about Pollard. I don't want to talk about Spears. Ridley's on IR. Aya Manor's hurt. Chigakonkwo still just has a cool name, but he has no fantasy relevancy. Let's talk about the Jaguars. So, not starting Trevor Lawrence. He's outside of the top 12 at that position, even against the Titans team that is very, very poor. Got to keep an eye on Brian Thomas Jr., who did not play against the Cardinals last week, but has a decent chance to return this week against the Titans. If he is in, I think you can start him, but he's probably hurt you so many times that you may just want to keep him on your bench and see what you've got. Travis Etienne Jr., get him in your lineups. He's playing super well, and he's been benefiting from a lack of role from Bashaul Tuten. Bashaul Tuten had an injury in week 11, a reduced role in week 12, so we'll just have to see, but I want to keep Tuten on my bench, Etienne in my lineups, and then the last person we want to talk about would be Jakobi Meyers. Caught his first touchdown with Jacksonville last week. Can be started as a high-end flex, low-end wide receiver too. And then Brenton Strange is a name that you should be aware of. The tight end, he came off of injury, was immediately back into a prominent role in this offense. He could very well be started, and I thought was a sneaky add a couple of weeks ago if you were hurting at the tight end position. James, that was quick. That was quick. I hope you got enough time to look over the Panthers and Rams.
Oh, yeah, we're good. All right. So, moving to Carolina, where the Rams are 10.5-point favorites. Stu, a quick non-fantasy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Rams are going to the Super Bowl, right?
Yes, the Rams are my pick for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they seem to be the best team out of the NFC right now. I think they're really freaking good. But looking at the Rams, it's still those four guys who are auto starts for you. Puka Nacua, Matt Stafford, Kyron Williams, Davante Adams. Don't overthink it. Just start them. There is, however, another name I wanted to bring up, and that's Colby Parkinson, the tight end there. Throughout most of the season, hasn't popped up on anybody's radar, but he does have three straight weeks with a touchdown in two of those weeks, bringing in 100% of his targets. Because of that production, he may come onto your radar as a guy you like. I'm going to tell you to pump the brakes there, though. Yes, we like guys scoring a lot of touchdowns in a lot of weeks. But again, look at those numbers. What's he look like without those touchdowns? And it's the answer is nothing. He looks like not much at all. So Colby Parkinson, I'm kind of making the argument against him for the same reason we make arguments for Mark Andrews, but it's you've got Davante Adams and Puka Nacua out there to bring in targets. He's not going to be a priority. So don't bother. Let's move on to the Panthers. Bryce Young struggled last night. He is going to continue struggling this week against the very, very good Los Angeles Rams. That also means that Tet McMillan is probably going to struggle. While we can say that Tet McMillan has been the best receiver on this team as a rookie, he's probably not going to be a great choice this week. Maybe a flex if you want to take that shot, but I'm not putting him any higher than that. And then there's Rico Dowdle, who has been the guy since really aggressively taking the job from Chuba Hubbard. Not a great week last week, not terrible, nothing to write home about. But he is going to continue being the guy, continue being an RB2. I really only want him to get a couple goal line reps here because I think the Rams' defensive line is going to shut him down. And Chuba Hubbard, despite not having a terrible week last week, is no longer relevant. You don't need to worry about him. Don't need to worry about Hunter Renfrow, Xavier Leggett, or Jake Coker. All of them are unstartable. Stu, take us to Miami.
Yes, we've got the Saints, the New Orleans Saints, visiting Miami to play the Dolphins. Always just a fun matchup here all around. Super excited to not watch this one, too. For Miami, you want to get Achane back in your lineups immediately off of their bye from week 12. He and Jaylen Waddle are both auto starts in this game. That should be really, really exciting to see them back on the field. Some relevance needs to go to Malik Washington as a wide receiver 2 target ever since Tyreek Hill went down. Doesn't that feel like just years ago that happened? The season's long. He's going to be an underwhelming flex option for you, Malik Washington. One name that I want to put on everybody's radar is Darren Waller, who's in practice again, but can once again fulfill a very needed role in this Miami offense with their red zone efficiency. He was a huge target when he was healthy, and I don't know if you're really projecting this all the way, you know, from now, James, but in week 16... which would be the second round of the playoffs, he plays against Cincinnati, who is awful against tight ends, and in week 15, he plays against Pittsburgh, who is also awful against tight ends. So, if he is healthy and effective, he very well could be a nice tight end streamer for the fantasy playoffs to get you through those first two rounds. On the other side, Tua, no one cares. On the other side, the Saints... we want to pay attention to Chris Olave. I think he is going to be a good start as a wide receiver too this week. The offense is going to have to run through somebody, and it's going to be Chris Olave and Juwan Johnson, in my opinion. Why do I have that strong opinion? Well, Alvin Kamara, running back, knocked out of last week's game with a knee injury. I personally think he's very likely to miss this week, and the entire load is going to fall on rookie sixth-rounder Devin Neal, who, you know, we're getting this out probably before waivers go through. You need to get... a waiver claim in for him right now if he's not already rostered. His, you know, volume is king. Hopefully it's, you know, what's your term for it? Meaningful volume? Meaningful volume, yeah. That, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Nobody else really on the Saints or in this game is super relevant. It's just another bad matchup. I feel like I got two of those matchups in a row. Dolphins are 6-point home favorites, 41.5. Over under, pretty stinker matchup, James. And your next one does not get any better. Why don't you just sift through the crap that's the Jets versus Falcons?
Oh, we love bad football here. Gets me excited for like the first couple weeks of bowl season where all of the 6-6 teams are playing each other and it's just ugly. But we got the Falcons and the Jets who are. It would not be bowl eligible if they were college football teams. The Falcons are 2.5-point favorites. Let's start with the Falcons here. Bijan Robinson remains an auto start. Didn't perform up to expectations quite this past week. Still very good. Still an RB1. He's Bijan Robinson. Don't overthink it. I'm not even going to say the name of any quarterbacks for the Falcons because they're not relevant. Guy who is relevant is Drake London if he's healthy. He is still suffering from a sprained PCL. He's questionable right now. We do not know if he's going to be ready to go. My magic crystal ball is saying probably not, but that's just my prediction. If he's good to go, monitor it. He's an auto start. If not, you know, I said Darnell Mooney will get 1,000 targets and he will drop a lot of them. Turns out he got 3 targets, caught all of them, and one of them was a touchdown. Still not a body of work to be super impressed with, despite the fact that he, you know, scored a usable amount of points. I'm still not looking to start Darnell Mooney, and I'm not looking to start Kyle Pitts. And... you know, I've been talking all season about Tyler Algier being an awesome handcuff, and Bijan Robinson has not missed a game, and he's looking very strong, and he's not looking like he's showing any bits of bumps or bruises. I don't know. Tyler Algier's still there. Moving over to the Jets. back to Tyrod Taylor, continuing to get the start here. Jets head coach has said that Garrett Wilson has not played his last game in 2025, despite going on IR, I think, 2 weeks ago. I don't know in what circumstance Garrett Wilson would come back and play for this team this season. They are bad. They're going to continue being bad. There's really nothing to play for except for injuries. So I don't know what they're thinking here. Garrett Wilson is going to be done. But guy I shouted out last week for getting a touchdown, John Mechie got another touchdown and led the team with 7 targets. Actually played very well. And I'm not saying pick him up, but he has gotten onto my watch list. He's a guy who I liked a lot in college, who had a lot of, you know, unfortunate things happen to him with leukemia, I believe it was. But he is fighting back and is a really fun story to watch right now. A.D. Mitchell is still broken. Mason Taylor is not startable. And Breece Hall is, you know, kind of disappointing, but you still got to start him. Stu, take us to Cleveland.
Yes, we've got the San Francisco 49ers going up against the Cleveland Browns. The 49ers are 5.5-point favorites with a 38.5 over-under, so we're not expecting a lot of points coming from this game. All those stinker matchups that we just talked about, and this one has the worst line of Week 13. Starting with Cleveland, congrats to Shedeur Sanders for ruining my life and also winning his first game. You know, he got a tweet shout out from the President of the United States. Not everybody gets that. At least I think that was real. Was that real, James? I don't know.
I don't actually know.
Sometimes people just post you know, photoshopped images.
I mean, there was a good amount of spelling mistakes in it, which, you know, is not off brand, but I don't know. It could be real. It probably. I don't know. It could go either way.
I don't know. It's like Schrodinger's cat. It's the Schrodinger's tweet.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so for the Browns, you don't want to be starting Shedeur Sanders. He won the game, but it was still, for fantasy, quite pedestrian. We'll have to see if he, you know, builds up over time. He's got some softer matchups in San Francisco and then Tennessee in Week 14 before he gets to the tougher matchups, Chicago, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh after that. So see what he does. Quinshon Judkins is an automatic start. He needs to be. This offense runs through him. Basically, every pass catcher needs to be benched. Jerry Jeudy is an embarrassment to, you know, football, seemingly. Harold Fannin Jr. is the only one that I would consider starting, but even then, I mean, he's getting targets, but it's not really translating to a whole lot of fantasy production. You'd have to be pretty desperate at the tight end position to be starting him. But Njoku, Tillman, all benches. Dylan Sampson caught a screen pass and accounted for basically, you know, like a third of the total pass yards in the game, so he's not worthy of a start. That was just kind of a one fun play. Isaiah Bond, I think he was the one that caught the deep ball. Again, broken play, not worth fantasy consideration. Flipping over to the 49ers. Of course, you're starting Christian McCaffrey. I don't need to tell you that, but you also need to be starting George Kittle as well. 10 targets last night, still playing super well. Brock Purdy loves him. Juwan Jennings and his bruised testicles can be started for you in Week 13. I have no problems with
him. Can we say that on the radio?
We're not on the radio, so I mean, we'll just get like a PG-13. He got punched, like straight up punched. That was just rude. You don't do it. You don't do that to another guy.
Nah, that's mean.
Brock Purdy needs to be sat for a game that he's going up against Myles Garrett. I don't know if I had to tell you that, but go ahead and bench him. Ricky Pearsall, James, I wouldn't mind if people dropped him, but personally I'd be stashing him on my bench. What do you think about Ricky Pearsall?
I really kind of want nothing to do with him right now. Mm.
Well, he can be my mascot still at the tail end of my bench.
Sure.
Only other thing to talk about is handcuffs. Brian Robinson Jr. still needs to be rostered as a you know, handcuff to CMC. He'll get an incredible role if CMC goes down, but Christian's been really healthy this year and incredibly effective. I wish I had him on my teams, but I basically never do. James, moving right along, we get... Oh, I'm so, so happy. I'm so happy I don't have to talk about this game. Go ahead. Vikings and Seahawks.
All right, the first of our afternoon games. If you are a frequent listener of Fantasy Footbear, you know very well how I feel about J.J. McCarthy. The Vikings are traveling to Seattle, where the Seahawks are 10.5-point favorites. Seahawks, by the way, probably up there with the Rams and the Eagles for NFC Super Bowl contenders. But starting with the Vikings... I'm not going to go in as hard on J.J. McCarthy as I did last week, because at this point it's just punching down. And, you know, he's a young guy who doesn't have a long time to go in the NFL, and he's not good, and he makes the rest of his team not good. Justin Jefferson, while still being the wide receiver 13, there is no ceiling with him right now. I'm going to do it again. I'm gonna explode on this Vikings team again, but I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna restrain myself. Justin Jefferson, wide receiver 2 numbers. Jordan Addison, not startable. T.J. Hockenson, not startable. Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason, both not startable. Seahawks offense negates just about everything the Vikings do. For this, Sam Darnold is a situational streamer this week. I don't mind it. For running backs, Kenneth Walker is a start for me this week. Put him as a running back 2. Zach Charbonnet to the bench. Jackson Smith and Jigba is the wide receiver 1, and he will remain that way this week. He should give you wide receiver 1 numbers or better. Cooper Kupp and Torrey Horton, I'm not interested in. A.J. Barner, Elijah Arroyo, not interested in. Keep that one quick, because I don't want to be mad about the Vikings anymore, Stu.
I just didn't want to tell people to start Justin Jefferson.
I said wide receiver 2. I don't think wide receiver 2 is wrong for Justin Jefferson, right?
It just hurts. It's gross. It's nasty, and it shouldn't be. You took Justin Jefferson in the first round. The angst and rage I'm sure the general public feels towards J.J. McCarthy, or 9 as he calls himself, it's got to be so high, and it's disgusting. Like,
yeah,
the Vikings have got to be starting like Kyler Murray next year, right? Like, what do you even do? You can't keep this up. I don't know.
I mean, this is, I don't know, maybe it. I don't know about this year's QB draft class. We'll talk about that in later months, I guess, but. Yeah, just sad right now. Stu, take us to Pittsburgh.
Yes, we've got the Buffalo Bills fresh off of a kind of embarrassing loss to the Texans, now heading to Pittsburgh to be 3.5-point favorites over the Steelers. 47.5 over under. The big question for the Steelers is Aaron Rodgers going to be playing or not? He did not end up playing. We saw him, the illustrious Mason Rudolph, under center for week 12. Aaron Rodgers, of course, broke his left wrist. Doctors didn't clear him. He wanted to play. He's not fantasy relevant either way, but he does have, you know, strong ramifications on the skill position players like DK Metcalf. DK had a good fantasy day, but, I mean, I'm going to still ward you against relying on him. Even after 8 targets, he had 22 yards receiving and got into the end zone on a rush attempt. So, not really amazing, not what he's known for, and not somebody I want to be falling over myself to play. On the other side, though, Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell, I think both merit start consideration. They're both performing very well in the touches that they're getting, and honestly, Gainwell is outperforming Warren for the lesser touches that he is getting, which is pretty impressive. He's always been pretty good in Philadelphia, but he's been quite the revelation this year. He's running back 21 as a starting the season clear backup to Jaylen Warren. There's really no one else that you want to be looking at in Pittsburgh. There are a couple tight ends, Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth. The latter caught a touchdown last week, but still neither receiving enough looks to be fantasy relevant for us. For the Bills, it's just the same old, same old. We could say the same things about the Bills every week. Josh Allen, auto start. James Cook III, auto start. Khalil Shakir can be started because he's the only wide receiver that is, you know, healthy or, you know, not a healthy scratch like Keon Coleman. I want to know if they play him at all for the rest of the season. I haven't heard anything about him, but he's been a healthy scratch the last 2 weeks. He's still not fantasy relevant either way. Dalton Kincaid is progressing in his recovery from a hamstring injury. He'll probably still be out if I had to put money on whether he's active or not. So the tight end looks are going to still go to Dawson Knox, and those looks are few and far between, James, for fantasy purposes. Why don't you take us into Chargers Raiders?
All right. Half of a good game, or half of a good matchup here with the Raiders not being a real NFL team and the Chargers being 9.5-point favorites. Let's start with Las Vegas. There's really only two names you need to know and only a guarantee of one of them playing. Ashton Jeanty was banged up last week. An ankle injury in Sunday's loss to the Browns. Pete Carroll has said he hasn't heard anything yet about whether or not he'll practice this week. And he said, and I quote, it sounds like there's a chance that he'll be okay. So I don't know what that means. Monitor that. If he's healthy, he still is a guy you got to start. If not, there's no handcuff you want to have here. It's not like this is an offense that gives you meaningful volume. Brock Bowers, however, is still going to remain someone who you have to start. He's the only reliable receiver in this offense. He's going to get close to double-digit targets on a lot of weeks. He had 9 last week, brought in 6 of them. You have to start him at the tight end position. Past that, you don't need to know any other names. You don't need to know Geno Smith, Trey Tucker, Jacoby Myers, or anybody else, so just don't worry about it. Let's move over to the Chargers, who should win this game by at least 9.5, probably more like 16. Justin Herbert is an auto start. Kamani Vidal is an auto start, but Omarion Hampton is working off to the side in practices. He could technically be back this week. Haven't heard anything about it. Situation to monitor. If he does come back, I don't think he's going to immediately take over with the kind of volume that he had at the beginning of the season. I think Kamani Vidal remains the guy, but it could work that way into the playoffs where Omarion Hampton, as he gets a little bit more comfortable, starts to keep going. And we, again, don't know if he's even going to be playing this week or if he's going to play again this season. He probably is, but I'm going to say probably not this week, but we'll see. And then there's all those good receivers who had a terrible outing in their last game against the Jaguars, rather. Okay, so here's where we stand. The Raiders are terrible. Ladd McConkey had a terrible game against the Jaguars. He is a start. He has to be. The Raiders are terrible. He's going to get the ball a lot. Past that, I'm not in love with starting Quentin Johnson or Keenan Allen. I would kind of like to divorce myself from those guys if I can. Arondé Gadsden, healthy start. I think that's kind of where we are with the Chargers right now. Stu, this episode hasn't been quite as long as we expected it to be. Take us to Sunday night, my friend.
Yeah, we just have a bunch of matchups that are like, oh, God. Even this one isn't, oh, God. We've got the Broncos and the Commanders. Broncos visiting Washington on Sunday night. The line here are Broncos are 6.5-point road favorites with an over-under of 43.5. The big question in Washington is whether Jaden Daniels is going to be back, but he's probably not for this week. He's going to be practicing for the last thing that I heard about him. He's going to be practicing, but probably not in the lineup against the Broncos. So we're going to once again be relying on Marcus Mariota, who, I mean, if you're in a two-quarterback league, he's not the worst quarterback two that you could play, but he's close to the worst quarterback two that you could play. Running backs have been a headache all year long between Chris Rodriguez, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, and McNichols. It looks like Chris Rodriguez is currently on the top of the wheel, but the wheel keeps turning. Maybe it's Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt's turn to get the lion's share of the work, but I don't want to start any of them. If any of them, it would be Chris. So that's pretty lackluster. Debo Samuel, I think, can be started. He's been playing pretty well. He had a slow bit in the middle of the season, but he seems to be ramping up. And then coming out of the bye, he should be as healthy as he's been in the last several months. Terry McLaurin, I think, is beginning to practice. So if you're still holding on to him in your IR slot and did not drop him, you know, maybe he could be back for the fantasy playoffs if you're, again, a psychopath and want to trust somebody coming off of a season-long injury in your fantasy playoffs. I mean, go with God if that is something that you want to do. Zach Ertz, Do I have to have a strong opinion about Zach Ertz? He's the most lukewarm water option at the tight end position that I can think of. You could start him and feel okay about it, but if I was starting him, I would not feel okay about it. For the Broncos, another couple of headaches. It all centers around Bo Nix. What Bo Nix are we going to get this week? Against the Commanders' defense, you would think this is a good week to start Bo Nix, and you think it would be a good week to start his pass catchers, but even though you can talk about logic and what is technically correct and what should be correct, I'm sure I'm going to say start Bo Nix, and then he's going to, you know, throw three interceptions and lose two fumbles and lose there on the road. You can start Bo Nix. As such, Cortland Sutton, I think, is fine to be in your lineups. Troy Franklin, I'm honestly a little bit higher on at this point in the season. And then RJ Harvey, this is the first week out of bye for the rookie running back, now taking over fully for the injured J.K. Dobbins. I'm excited to see what RJ Harvey can do, and he is finding his way into my lineup this week. But, you know, Sean Payton being as annoying as Sean Payton usually is, he keeps talking about how Jaleel McLaughlin and Tyler Beatty, how they're going to be helpful down the stretch. So we'll have to see how much of a role RJ Harvey is afforded. I would expect it to be high, but I'm ready to be disappointed. Also, the Broncos defense seems like a great start this week. James, mm-hmm. I think this is it. This is the last one. Monday night, Patriots Giants.
Monday night.
All right.
This game I'm kind of quietly excited for. Giants traveling to Foxborough, where the Patriots are 7.5-point favorites. The Giants, to me, feel like the best 2-10 team in NFL history. I don't know why I'm excited about the Giants. They just feel frisky in a lot of ways, even though they're extremely hurt and extremely not that good. But there's a few things that do excite me, and the first one is Jackson Dart. He should be back this week. He should be out of the concussion protocol, and he should be ready to sling it. I'm calling an upset, much like the Giants versus Patriots of old. Jackson Dart, I'm not excited to start him this week because the Patriots defense is very good, but I do like Jackson Dart a lot, as I have said pretty much constantly over the course of the season. The ones to really think about, though. Tyrone Tracy, past few weeks, has been very efficient, very good. I like Tyrone Tracy to get a healthy workload this week. And Wandale Robinson, in case you didn't see, had over 150 yards and a touchdown, was over 30 PPR points. I think I called him a wide receiver 2 last week. I am very interested in Wandale Robinson. I want to see him continuing to get a lot of targets. Granted, it will probably be a different quarterback throwing in the ball this week. Last week it was Jameis, who, as Stu talked about earlier, he was wrong about. And every time you brought up Jameis in the past two episodes, I've wanted to say something, but I've forgotten to. Our show's biggest fan is also a massive Jameis Winston fan. So shout out to my mom. Jameis is getting his flowers for you on the show this week. We love us some Jameis. But either way, I love Wandale. Start him. Moving over to the Patriots, Drake May remains the QB1 in PPR scoring, or in standard scoring, I guess, because, you know, he's not catching passes. Trevion Henderson remains a startable RB1. He should be, more like RB2 with RB1 upside, but Trevion Henderson is in my start category this week. Ramondre Stevenson, last week I petitioned Vrabel to be done with him. It looks like we are indeed done with him. So thank you, Vrabes. You have shown you can make logical decisions about running backs. Let's continue doing that, please. Make Trevion Henderson continue to be relevant. For the receivers, Stephon Diggs and Kayshon Boutte. What we saw this past week against the... Who did they play this past week?
Mike? Cincinnati, wasn't it?
Against Cincinnati. What we saw this past week was kind of not a lot of anything. from either of these guys. I had posited the question, what's it going to look like now that Trevion or Stephon Diggs and Kayshon Boutte are in the offense at the same time? And what we got was basically nothing. So we did see Hunter Henry having a productive day. I'm not exactly expecting that to continue. Getting 10 targets out of a tight end is not common. But this Giants defense is exploitable. So I like, I like none of these guys except for Trevion Henderson and Drake May. So I'm going to stick with that. And I'm going to say that is all 16 games, all 32 teams. Happy Thanksgiving. Dr. Stu, what are you drinking this morning?
I'm not drinking anything this morning. I'm going to go sign for a house later. I don't want to show up drunk for that. But I want to highlight a local brewery, our old but now again new neighbors at Moontown Brewing in Whitestown, Indiana. I'm going to highlight their Irish Stout, the Lunar Leprechaun, ABV of 4.5% and the IBUs of 30. Reasonable ratings on the, you know, online circuit, about a 3.8 out of 5. So Indiana or Indianapolis bros, go on to Moontown. It's a decent little place. I like it a lot. So maybe you'll even see myself there. You probably won't. James, what are you going to drink today at some point?
All right. So I am with you and also not drinking at almost 11 a.m., not only is it very early and we've got a, you know, long, long weekend ahead of us starting for most of us tomorrow. But I did want to, shout out those people who are, drinking non-alcoholic beers this Thanksgiving. You know, maybe, that's something that makes your Thanksgiving dinner table a little bit less stressful. Meeting with family and hearing all of the crazy things they have to say. Maybe some of that is brought on by a little too much alcoholic beer. So if you are someone drinking a non-alcoholic beer like the Athletic Brewing Run Wild IPA that I'm holding in my hands here, shout out to you. I hope you have a good Thanksgiving. And I hope everybody who's drinking any beers of any kind has a lovely and restful enough weekend where you get to gorge yourself on delicious foods, get to fall asleep during halftime of one of the games and wake up to more football and just keep watching football throughout the night. It's a great time to do it. And when you're done with football, there's probably going to be college basketball going. So just a great weekend of sports. I'm happy for it. Stu, closing thoughts.
Yes, you know, I'll say happy Thanksgiving to everyone as well. Safe travels for everyone as they, you know, head out to wherever they're going. Got a couple friends flying, got some driving, so get there safely. Please, you know, just enjoy some football. We got some good matchups on Thursday and Friday. That should be fun. Don't go too crazy eating because you're going to feel terrible. But why don't you reach out to us on our socials? We are on Instagram and on X at FantasyFootBeer on both platforms. You can tell us what you are thankful for this year. You know, maybe it's Mike Vrabel deciding that finally, after 12 weeks, Trevion Henderson deserves a decent portion of the pie. I'm thankful for that. So let us know what you're thankful for. Who are you thankful for drafting? That sort of stuff. It's not going to be Justin Jefferson, but for those other ones, I'm happy to hear it. Always look forward to that. If you have beer recommendations, we also take those at fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. James, take us away for the holiday weekend.
So, Stu, before we let you go, I got a few quick Thanksgiving questions.
Sure.
First, what's your favorite kind of pie?
Pie like overall or at Thanksgiving kind of pie?
Both.
Okay, so, I mean, pumpkin, obviously, around Thanksgiving, but I'm not a huge pie guy. In Winchester, Indiana, which is out near the Ohio border, there's a Wick's Family Pies. It's like a local legend for pie making. Their chocolate pie is probably my favorite, but I'm not a huge pie guy. I'm more of a cake or cookie guy overall.
All right, next question. Give us a 3-game Thanksgiving parlay. Of those 3 games, Packers, Lions, Chiefs, Cowboys, and Bengals, Ravens, who are our 3 winners?
Okay, so you're gonna have to say those again more slowly. It was
the three Thanksgiving games. Who are the winners?
I like Detroit, and I like the Bengals, and I like the Cowboys.
All right, and last but not least, Ohio State, Michigan. Who you got?
I don't have any idea.
You're gonna watch college football this weekend, Stu.
The entirety of the college football that I have watched this season has been at your house.
That was week one.
Yeah,
come on.
It was week one.
You have to have watched some college football this year.
I have not heard a single thing about either of those two teams at all. I have no idea how well they're doing. I don't even know who the Michigan coach is now that Harbaugh's gone. I don't know. Let's say Michigan, because I just don't like Ohio State.
Ohio State's the number one team in the nation, and you haven't heard anything about... Well, it's because they play cupcakes. But, all right, I'll let you off the hook first, too.
I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Fantasy Foot Beer again. We appreciate your listenership. We appreciate your... you know what? We are thankful for you. How's that?
That's a good one.
That works. We are thankful for you, all of our listeners. We are thankful for your time. I am also thankful for our lovely Dr. Stu. I'm thankful for Indy the dog, who is asleep on the floor behind me. And I'll say I'm thankful for Pixel the cat, too. She needs to get more shout-outs on the show. And for all of us here at Fantasy Foot Beer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, I'm James Kemp. Good night. Or I guess good morning. Good whatever time of day it is that you're listening to this, and good talk.